If you want to know what is really happening in the world today, you need to read the Parsha HaShavua, the weekly Torah reading. Join Rabbi Mendel Lipska for the next hour as he delves and enumerates the themes running through the weekly Torah Parsha, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
And a wonderful Erev Shabbos to all of you. Great to be here again to talk, to share, and to spend some time with each and every one of you, to look into the Parsha, to look into the Torah, to look into life, and to think about what is important in life, what is real in life. Look at the past, look at the present, look at the future, and together come to some conclusions of how we should get on with life, how we should move forward, how we should make the right choices in life, how we should look at life and understand that which is truly of value, that which is real, that which is important, what we should hold on to, and what we should reject. Life is valuable. Life is complicated. Life often comes with challenges, great challenges. Life often comes with moments when we are called upon to be strong, to be mature, to be wise. And sometimes we feel that we're not really ready to make those choices. We somehow feel overwhelmed by the circumstances in which we find ourselves in. But it's important to understand all circumstances that we encounter, those indicate that we have within ourselves the strength, the ability, and yes, even the wisdom to make the right choices and to handle those situations correctly. It might be difficult. It's certainly challenging. But we have the ability, we have the wherewithal, we have that wisdom within us. How do we know what to do? This is where Torah comes in. Because Torah, as we often say, it's the Torah of life, the Torah of truth. And truth and life ultimately are synonymous. Because after all, real life is truth. Because real life comes from God Himself. And the Word of God is Torah. And therefore, if one wants to understand life which comes from God, if one wants to understand life, which in fact is the ultimate gift from God, one has to look to the Word of God. And the Word of God is Torah. And this is the recipe book. This is the book that carries the teaching, the advice, to tell us what to do, how to do, and when to do. And this is why Torah has been with us since the very beginning of the Jewish people. This is, in a sense, the only thing that's been with us since the very beginning. Our clothes have changed, our language has changed. We didn't always have the land with us. Yes, we've always yearned for the land, but we didn't always have it. What the Jewish people have always had is the Torah and the mitzvot. And this is why when we take a look at something which has endured throughout the ages, throughout the most difficult of situations, we know that it's the book of truth, God's Word. And God's Word gives us strength, gives us insight, gives us the knowledge that is necessary to live life correctly, to live life to the fullest. I wasn't here last week, as you probably know. I was in New York. I was there to commemorate the 30th Yahrzeit of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. And what an amazing event it was. I went to the Ohel of the Rebbe. I arrived there on a Monday, and the Yahrzeit was on a Monday night. And beginning with late afternoon, early evening, literally thousands of people began to arrive to visit the Ohel, the resting place of the Rebbe. And the people that came, that in itself was a powerful indication of who the Rebbe was. People who came not only to pay their respects, but people who came because they understood who the Rebbe was, his leadership, his greatness, his incredible devotion and dedication to Am Yisrael, the Jewish people. Jews from every corner of the world, from every walk of life, an absolute panorama of the Jewish nation, Ashkenazim, Sfardim, observant, non-observant, from every walk of life. people stood in line, sometimes for an hour and a half, sometimes for 3 hours, throughout the night, Monday night, throughout the day on Tuesday. It was a hot day. And people only had, at most, a minute and a half, 2 minutes, to actually go into the ohel in groups and to walk around the perimeter of the graveside and to say whatever prayer they wanted to say and to ask for a bracha. And people did that with tremendous devotion because they understood what leadership is all about. I was there for many, many hours. I was there for many hours because I wanted to share in the experience of what so many thousands upon thousands of, well, my Jewish brothers and sisters were doing. I wanted to share in the experience and to feel the incredible emotion of that 24 hours and more. I wanted to somehow connect with so many Jews. Well, there were a lot of non-Jews as well, but with so many Jews from every single corner of the world, from every walk of life. Yes, I'm a chassid of the Rebbe. I'm a shliach of the Rebbe. And to me, it should come naturally. And most of the time, it does. But I have to admit, I was uplifted. I was carried. When I saw the type of Jews that came, and the amount of Jews that came, I developed a deeper and deeper respect for the Rebbe, because I know the Rebbe touched each and every one of them in a personal sort of way. And I say this because, as I began, what did the Rebbe do? The Rebbe taught people how to connect their lives with Torah in a very intimate, personal, and powerful way. The Rebbe taught people that each and every single individual is vital and important, that each and every single individual has the ability, the capacity, the responsibility of living life to the fullest, that each and every single individual has the capacity of doing great things. The Rebbe taught each and every single individual that Torah is there to teach him how to achieve those things. And it doesn't really matter how observant you are or how much you know and how much you've learned, but that each and every individual can do great things. And this is what the Rebbe taught day after day, year after year. And people heard that message. Some more, some less. Some with great insight, some with less. And people began to realize that the Rebbe's message was real and powerful. The Rebbe's message touched, well, academics, leaders, people of great standing, ordinary folk. Everyone heard a message that made a tremendous impression upon them. I spent many hours talking to people. I heard incredible stories, miraculous stories. Individuals, people who have positions of responsibility in communities around the world, fellow shluchim. I heard stories how the Rebbe touched the lives of so many people, and how the Rebbe understood different type of people in different types of situations. Not only a few, but many, many hundreds, thousands. Yes, one can sit back and take a look at, well, 30, 35 volumes of the Rebbe's letters to individuals, letters of guidance, letters of inspiration, letters of insight. And one begins to understand a little bit who the Rebbe was. The Rebbe wasn't this righteous man who taught Torah from an elevated position speaking down to people. The Rebbe was a leader in the fullest sense of the word, uplifting people constantly. Teaching in the truest sense of the word. A leader who touches every single individual at their level and prodding them to go higher, encouraging them to go to different levels all the time. And that's why when I was there last week, I said, I'm going to begin the show this week by talking about that. I wanted to share this with you. I was uplifted. I was carried. And I wanted to share those moments with you because I'd like you to be carried as well. It was the 30th yard site, a special time. A time of greatness, a time of teaching, a time of insight, a time of hope. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
The Parsha this week is a famous Parsha, the Parsha of Balak. Balak, as we know, was the king of Midian. And Midian and Moab are two nations, and they see the Jewish people are marching toward the promised land. And they're petrified. Moab is petrified because, after all, they see that the Jewish people are powerful people. They've just wiped out these two great kings. And Midian has a deep hatred for the Jewish people for the longest time. And Midian also recognizes, well, Moshe lived in Midian for a while, that the only way you can possibly destroy the Jewish people is through the power of the mouth. Because after all, they remember Moshe, and Moshe had the power of prayer, and they decide that what they have to do is to hire somebody who had the power of the mouth. And who was that? That was Bilam, the sorcerer, the one who is able to curse. And this is the Parsha where Bilam is hired by Balak, the king of Midian, and the elders of Moab to come and curse the Jewish people. It's a fascinating story. First of all, because we have tremendous insight into, well, political machinations. Midian and Moab are two nations that actually hate each other. They are old enemies. What brings them together is a new common enemy. And who is that common enemy? Yes, the Jewish people. And because they have this incredible hatred of the Jewish people, they become allies. They become friends. And this is a story that has repeated itself throughout history so many times. And in fact, if you take a look at current events and the nations of the world today, nations that don't necessarily like each other, in fact, there are nations today that probably hate each other. You take a look at the United Nations, the many, many countries that sit in the Great Assembly. So many of them actually have utter contempt for each other. And yet, when it comes to passing sanctions against the Jewish people, against Israel, they suddenly become powerful allies and friends. What is it? What is it about the Jewish people, about Israel, that is able to bring these enemies together? Because now they have a common enemy in the Jewish people. And this is something which historians have tried to understand, philosophers have tried to understand. What causes this incredible, incredible hatred of the Jewish people? What is it that somehow people are able to overlook other hatreds when the prime hatred comes along, the hatred of the Jewish people? And this story is an old story. It's nothing new. Midian and Moab. Long before any of these so-called modern political stories are told. The Torah tells us the story in great detail. What do? They come together, and they realize that with military force, there's no way they're going to destroy the Jewish people. The Jewish people are a protected people. The Jewish people are not only a protected people, they're protected by God Himself. They are a people that have a miraculous dimension that watches over them. Look at them. After being slaves in Egypt for hundreds of years, they come out as a strong and powerful nation. They cross the sea. The sea splits. The Egyptians chase them. And what happens? The Jewish people are saved. The enemy drowns in the Sea of Reeds. Amalek, powerful nation of Amalek, ferocious, amazingly powerful. They come and attack the Jewish people. What happens? Destroyed. Sichon and Og, most powerful of kings. What happens? Destroyed. Midian and Moab watch all of this, and they know full well you cannot destroy these people physically, not with the most powerful of armies. I mean, they could put together a massive army and attack the Jewish people in the desert. They know that they will lose. There has to be another way of destroying this people. So what do? They look for an individual that has divine power. Yes, divine power. In fact, the Midrash tells us something which is rather disturbing. It says that there was never another prophet as great as Moshe. And then the Midrash tells us something very disturbing. Yes, it says, there was never another prophet among the Jewish people like Moses. But among the nations of the world, there was one who was as great as Moshe. And who was it? Bilaam. God granted Bilaam tremendous divine powers. And again, the Midrash tells us something. Why would God want to give a person like Bilaam, an immoral, money-hungry person, such divine power? And the answer is because the nations of the world would one day say, why do you favor the Jewish people? You gave them such rich spiritual energy with great prophets. You didn't give it to us. So God said, I'll give you great prophet. And let's see what he will do with it. And he will choose to abuse that energy, that incredible divine power. But God gave him that power, strangely enough. And they said, let's go to Bilaam and offer him a vast amount of money so that he could come and use the power of sorcery, black magic, the dark power, to destroy the Jewish people, because that's the only way there's a hope of destroying the Jewish people. We can't kill them physically. Let's try and kill them spiritually. Bilaam comes before God and says, I have received this delegation from Balak, the king of Midian, and the elders of Moab, who've offered me huge sums of money if I will go and curse the Jewish people. May I do so? Because Bilaam knows full well where his power comes from, and he knows full well that he can't do anything on his own. And God says, don't go. But Bilaam is a greedy person. And he tells his delegation, if you would give me all the money in the world, give me a house full of gold, I couldn't go because I can't disobey the word of God. But there's a subtext to all of that. He says, all the money in the world, a house full of gold, indicating that that's precisely what he wants. And they come back again. And again, he tells God, can I go? And this time God says, all right, you want to go, go. Why doesn't God want him to go the first time around? Because God says, I'm going to save you the embarrassment of making a fool of yourself and of Balak and of both nations, Midian and Moab. Because if you go, not only won't you be able to curse the Jewish people, you'll end up blessing them. I will show you how weak you truly are, what kind of fool you are, what kind of greedy individual you are. Do yourself a favor and stay back. But he insisted. He insisted. You insist, you will suffer the indignity of your behavior. And we know the story. Some of the most beautiful blessings that the Jewish people ever had came from the so-called curses that Balaam wanted to throw upon the Jewish people. Throughout history, some of the greatest successes of the Jewish people came from those who wanted to destroy us. Time and again, they come and attack us, and they think they've destroyed us, but no, we come out stronger each and every single time. We come out stronger. And those curses become blessings, and we hold them high. Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov, one of the great prayers we say every morning, he speaks about Mashiach. He speaks about our incredible, incredible history. He speaks about the ethics of the Jewish people, the morals of the Jewish people. He speaks about who we are. And this is why we must never be afraid of those who try to destroy us. Yes, there are moments that we need to be strong. There are moments when, yes, the enemies loom large. But we must never really be afraid, because they ultimately have no power. Because contained within their vicious, negative, violent, savage behavior, ultimately we'll see a blessing. A blessing that will bring greatness to us, indeed honor to us. And this is the story of Balak and Balaam. I've oversimplified it. Had to reduce a long parsha into a few moments. But that's a magnificent story. When you have a chance, read it for yourself in great detail. It's beautiful. With every single detail. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska. Only on 101.9 High FM.
So after all this time, Balaam and Balak realize that not only physically can't you destroy the Jewish people, but even spiritually you can't. He tried to curse them, and every curse was transformed in an amazing, fabulous blessing. He wanted to curse the Jewish people. He wanted to insult them in the eyes of God. And every word that came out of his mouth was an amazing blessing. And Balak screams at Balaam, I called you here to curse the Jewish people, and yet you bless them again and again. And Balaam says, I told you, I have no control over what I say. What I say, what comes out of my mouth, is completely controlled by God. But that's not where it ends. Tragically, that's not where it ends. Balaam turns to Balak and says, let me give you some advice. There's only one way to destroy the Jewish people. There's only one way to hurt the Jewish people. And that's by creating a situation where they hurt themselves. Because only Jews can hurt themselves. no matter what we do, they will be protected by divine presence. But the Jews can hurt themselves. And so it is at the end of the parsha. At the end of the parsha, Moav, based upon the advice of Bilam, welcomes the Jewish people, and they open their gates and they open their homes, and the Jewish people are seduced by the life and lifestyle of Moav, and they begin to behave immorally, and God becomes angry with them and punishes them. And this too is a story that has been repeated again and again in Jewish history. How the Jewish people allow themselves to be taken in by host societies. And they accept, well, often, the immoral behavior of their society, the idolatry of their society, the secular thinking of their society. And this is how they hurt themselves. This is how, unfortunately, they destroy themselves to a certain degree. And not only that, but very often when the Jewish people accept what is not theirs, they become far more fanatical about it. And as I mentioned earlier on, today is the day that we celebrate the liberation from communist prison of the previous Lubavitch Rebbe. And who were his interrogators, who were absolutely fanatical among the communists to make sure that the Rebbe ended up in prison? Jews. Jews whose fathers were righteous people. Righteous people. But they were so taken up by the new socialism of the day that they became more fanatical than the communists themselves. And the Rebbe once said to them, "Who are you? You are the children of righteous men and women." And this is what happened again and again in history. It happens in our time as well. Those who become obsessed with secular lifestyles laugh at observant Jews, point fingers at them and call them fools, naive people. This is the tragedy of Jewish history. On the one hand, no one can really destroy us, despite their best efforts, not physically, not even spiritually. And yet what we can do to ourselves is frightening, is tragic. This is something that the Jewish people haven't fully learned yet. How to protect themselves in the true sense of the word. In the true sense of the word, our enemies ultimately, as I said before, ultimately have no power. They might shout and scream and hurt us a little bit, but they have no power. The power to hurt ourselves lies within ourselves, and this is why we have to keep on teaching people as best we can that the only true protection is God, His mitzvot, His Torah, to be dedicated to that which is what He wants us to do. This is so important for us to always, always keep in mind. This is what will keep us alive. This is what Bilam says to Balak at the end of the whole story. Let me advise you how to destroy the Jewish people. And tragically, he takes that advice. And he passes it on again and again and again and again. Story of Hanukkah, the Hellenists, throughout history. Who are the most passionate enemies of the Jewish people ultimately? The Jews themselves. We see it. In our day and age, we see it as well. But how does Bilam end his so-called curses, which are blessings? He ends with the story of Mashiach. Because he knows That's the ultimate glorious end of the Jewish people. A moment of tremendous, tremendous, tremendous light and beauty and greatness. Because despite the mistakes that we may have made, and we have made mistakes, God's blessing will come through. Mashiach will come, bring goodness and peace and light and beauty to the world in the fullest sense of the word. And this is what we have to work for. This is the dream, the hope, the desire of each and every one of us. Whether we can articulate it, whether we actually understand it, whether we actually know that we want it or not, this is the dream and hope of each and every single Jew. And we have to work for it. We have to teach it. We have to share it. We have to live it. So when you're in shul tomorrow, listen to this parsha. Every single line tells a magnificent story. And as I always say, in this parsha you're going to hear more than once something that speaks to you directly, to your heart, to your mind, to your soul. And listen carefully, because once you hear it, you're going to hear something amazing. It's going to tell you who you are and what you should do and how you should do it. It's so precious, it's so real, it's so amazing. Particularly at a time before the 3 weeks, particularly at a time that we are told, a time that is so opportune for the coming of Mashiach. Listen to the parsha. Listen to the story. Listen to your story. Good Shabbos.